This is Audiomo Day 8. Continuing on my saving history theme. After yesterday I was talking about recording, today is the second part, I guess, of the technical things. So today is editing history. The only editing tool I'll use is Sony Soundforge, partly because it's the one I've used for donkey's years. I've used it since before Sony even owned it, when it was owned by a company called Sonic Foundry, I think. I'm sure that's right. But a very earlier version, probably version 4 or so. Now, I paid for this version of Sony Soundforge. I will admit that the previous version, Sony were really good and gave me a version 10. I was actually trying to upgrade it and there was a bit of a mess up. And they were just really good and said, no, have a copy. But I paid for the upgrade for the last one. So I'm not, in a way, I suppose, you know, paid to do this by Sony, or, you know, it's an advert for Sony because they're giving me the software. No, it's because I think it's brilliant. So as I'm focusing on Bletchley Park, really, and as I said in yesterday's Audiomo, we'll record wherever we can. So in the near 3 years of the podcast, we've never done an interview in a studio. It's all done, like I say, wherever we can do it, which at times can be challenging. If we record in the cafe at Bletchley Park, there's lots of scraping of chairs and coffee machines going off and things. But even if we just record, you know, in a quietish room at Bletchley Park, it never seems to be a very quiet room at Bletchley Park, as we learned early on trying to record links in all different places in Bletchley Park. But I've got used to knowing, oh, if we record here, then I'll need to do this and I need to do that. And for other work as well, it all goes through the same process. So, for example, if it's two people being interviewed, I'll go through first and I'll section up the different parts. So, for example, Catherine's the interviewer and we have a veteran as an interviewee. I'll go through and put all of those parts into sections. The next thing I do is go through and I drop all the really major peaks. So where someone suddenly says something really loud, or there's a cough or a noise or something, either cut out the noise if there's a noise you don't need, or just drop the volume slightly on the peaks. Then I normalise everything. And then at that point, that's where the next lot of software comes into play. So Soundforge actually comes with lots of software that's designed by a company called iZotope, built into it. On top of that, iZotope have been kind enough to give extra software and upgrade another software that I already had. And in reality, this is, I suppose, in a way, the first advert I've ever done for it, because they didn't ask for any publicity from it whatsoever. They just wanted to help out, and they actually said they were really proud to be connected with it and to think that they were helping to save history, which I told them. So, you know, they deserve credit for that. But even if they hadn't, I was already using their software, like I say. And it's brilliant. I mean, the way that editing and restoration software has come on in the last 5 years is unbelievable. Noise reduction, especially. Sony, for the last two or three versions, has used iZotope noise reduction built into it. Sort of, you know, Sony built by iZotope, basically. And with each release, it's got better and better, to be honest. But now I'm using RX4, which is iZotope, basically industry standard, really, for cleaning up and restoration of audio. And it's just fantastic. My favourite part of the whole suite of RX4 would have to be something called Dialogue Denoiser. And literally, I just click preview on a section that I've got ready to go, and it automatically takes out all of the background noise, or as much of the background noise as I want. If you want to leave some in there, you don't want to start putting digital artifacts in. But it's sped up my work no end. It's remarkable. I would say it now enables me to clean up audio in half the time that I used to, if not even more. It's fantastic. I can't praise iZotope enough. So once I've sort of done the cleanup of the audio, what I do then, and it's something that people notice about the veterans, they always say to me, oh, you know, they sound really sparky and really clued up and, you know, great memories. And they have. And the vast majority of them have. But they're in the late 80s, early 90s, and they may occasionally while we're interviewing them, just take literally a couple of moments extra to think about something, and just so they get it right in their mind. So I do something that I call editing for dignity. So I just take out those extra little pauses. And to be honest, it's very rare it's more than a few seconds, because they do remember so well. I mean, we have veterans who will say to us, you know, oh, I actually checked this, I've actually checked that, you know, I did do this thing. And, you know, it's not just something that I've picked up because I've seen something on TV. Yeah, you know, I was stationed here at this time, so I know that that happened. But to be honest, I hardly edit anything out of these interviews with the veterans, because they don't go off meandering, you know, in a world of their own. They're just really precise about what they did. And also, the interviews we try and do with the podcast, we try and get the more social side of things out of them. So, you know, we want the funny stories and the poignant stories, and we don't necessarily need to know, you know, the ins and outs of setting up, you know, a touring bomb, or the ins and outs of what you do as a listener at a Y station, you know, how you turn your radio on and all of this. We don't necessarily need to know that, because we, you know, we've got that sort of info, you know, we've got lots of that from different people. We want them to, you know, remember the happy times. And one of the things we want to focus on is those happy times and the good times and the social times. Because what we probably forget at this distance from it, 70 odd years, is that in the case of these ladies, they were 18, 19 year old girls, and they just wanted to live their lives. You know, this war had got in the way, but they wanted to make the most of it. So they would go off down to London or up to Oxford and go dancing and play pranks and play jokes on each other and have a laugh, because they didn't know when the next person they knew might be dead. They were living life as best they could, and so they wanted to enjoy themselves. And they're the things that we love to hear about. And I'll spend as much time as I need on each recording just so I can present it in the best and the clearest way possible. Most of the recordings, either myself or Catherine will record, but we do occasionally get recordings from other people, and sometimes they're not perfect, you know, and they've been recorded because they might have been recorded on a phone because that's all the person had, you know, at the time. And we have to make do with those and just produce, you know, as good a quality final recording as we possibly can. But it's just to pay respect to the veterans, really. Bye.